Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, indeed. Thanks to the help you get from Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We'll keep it running until you get to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer. Nick will give you some idea of what might be ailing that vehicle of yours. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're wearing a T-shirt this morning. You're a tough guy.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I'm a little odd, but I rarely wear a coat or long sleeves. But I think this week I'll have to find that winter coat.
I think you will, indeed. Nick has been on, of course, a lot here on CCO over the last few years, and he's willing to help you out this morning if you have some issue with your vehicle. And boy, you and I, Nick, were talking about the forecast this coming week. Snow on the way, 4 to 8 inches, maybe more, give or take, through Monday, probably midday Monday. And then the cold weather. We're talking 21, 22, 25 below zero.
And those are air temps, not wind chill.
That is not wind chill. So what? Let's talk a little bit. We already have folks on the line in Texas. So let me give you the number. There's a line open if you have a car care question for Nick. He is an ASE certified technician. He will help you out. 651-989-9226. If it's easier, send a text, 81807. We'll grab those two. What is the difference? Does this cold weather can affect cars? Early this morning, I talked about tire pressure.
Yeah, there's a lot of all those things that we always talk about. And, throughout the fall and early winter, we've been saying get the vehicle in and have the maintenance done, have the battery tested, the antifreeze, your tires, as you mentioned. And, coming in a couple of days here, it's going to be reality. And, if you haven't had those things done, get yourself an appointment somewhere this weekend or Monday or Tuesday, because the reality is when you go out to work Wednesday morning and it's 20-some below zero air temp, your car may not start. So You want to do whatever you can now to prevent that situation.
Yeah, and we talk in the summertime how tough real hot weather is on can be on batteries. But
Absolutely. And
either extreme.
That is true. And then come winter, when you need that reserve of that battery and it's depleted and the car doesn't start, and then you're going to say, oh, I should have had that done.
Yeah. Can an oil change, can that make a difference when it's this cold? I mean, if you regularly change your oil, you're okay. But
if your vehicle's well-maintained, you follow the guidelines that the manufacturer puts out for you, you go in for your regular services, your car will start this week. For some of those that maybe have neglected or have put off some of those maintenance items, they might have some troubles. And you're right on, though. Like in the summertime, the cars don't like the extremes, whether it's extremely hot or very cold. And we're moving into that very cold weather.
651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Here's a text that came in just a few minutes ago. Good morning, it says. 01 Chevy 2500. Audible whistle at anywhere from 30 to 50 miles an hour. RPMs don't matter. Transmission or vacuum leak or something else, do you think?
If it's similar to the noise we have in the studio.
Yeah, we're experiencing the same thing.
Yes, we are. I think the text was right on there. If it doesn't change with RPM, it's something that's consistent. It's not necessarily speed related. It could also be something electrical too. You never know. An alternator can whine. A power steering pump, which I think would change with load, but transmissions can whine. A vacuum leak, absolutely. Or like I'd mentioned, something electrical. So if that noise continues, the texter should probably take it into his dealership or shop and have him at least put an ear to it to make sure you're not creating a bigger problem for yourself.
All right. Let's go to the phones, Nick. Rex is calling from Maple Grove, I believe. Thanks for waiting, Rex. How can we help you?
My son has a 2005 Ford Lariat that the dashboard just, it'll click, and then it just, everything goes to zero on it, dies, and then it'll come back. Does it at various times of the year, but pretty frustrating when you're going down the road and all of a sudden you don't know how fast you're going, and then it'll come back.
There's throughout time, different vehicles had similar types of problems, and most often there's something internal to that unit itself. You know, there's a lot of circuit boards in there, a lot of solder joints, a lot of different electrical things happening there, and, you know, the thermal curve, as things heat and cool, they'll flex and change, same with condensation. So my suspicion is that somewhere within that panel, there's a poor connection, and obviously as you're going down the highway on the right day with the right temperature or humidity, it doesn't like it, and it kind of shuts itself off. The parameters change, the situation changes a little bit, and it pops back on. The frustrating thing is if that situation gets worse, it might just go out altogether. Mm. So the hard part for us, you know, the people trying to help you, is if we can't experience it, it's hard to tell you exactly what it is. You know, so it's one of those things where it might be completely random, or there might be somewhat of a pattern to it. So, you know, if it's possible to have your son, you know, just kind of jot down, it happened today. You know, this is what was the weather like? How long have you been driving it? Just a couple clues. So for the day that he does take it in to have it assessed, that those people can maybe try to duplicate that same drive cycle and with some luck maybe have it happen for him.
So if Rex or son happened to stop by Lloyd's, not calling in, you just saw them for the, what would you guys do? What would your folks do?
Well, we would, you know.
Scan tools?
Well, no, I don't know. I think it's more of a communication thing that's being lost. I think that there's a connection somewhere in that panel, and like it's flexing or changing, and it's kind of giving out on them. You know, back to the old voltmeter. I mean, if you can experience it, you know, if we could have the vehicle in our shop and the panel were to go out and we can get in there with a voltmeter and start testing powers and grounds and connections, absolutely can figure it out. The hard part is you need to get it to happen.
Those intermittent problems.
Yeah, they're very frustrating for everyone, not just for the customer.
Absolutely, yeah. All right. Before we break, let's go to Richfield. I think Charles has been – thank you, Rex, by the way. Charles, you're on with Nick.
Yes, thank you. I have a 2004 Jeep Grand Cherokee with about 190,000 miles. About 1 year ago, the key fob stopped working, and I got new batteries, and that didn't do anything either, so it must be the receiver. But anyway, recently, the automatic door locks on the door don't work on the driver's side, so that doesn't work. Also, almost at the same time, the automatic windows don't work from any door, any switch. And now the interior lights stay on. I have to turn them off manually. So I don't know if there's a broken wire in the door harness or a fuse or a switch or all these problems at the same time.
Not likely a fuse, because typically if a fuse goes out, things don't come back. But I think you're right on with that door jam wiring. You know, if you have a warm garage you can pull your car into here this next couple of days, try opening the door and then take your hand where that you can see where that wiring harness or that loom comes through the hinge area there and try to flex it a little bit, you know, or try to put your hand on the window switch to go up or down and move the door a little bit and see if you get some action there. Because, you know, the fact they have the door locks, the windows, the interior lights, because it thinks the door is open, not working, you're right on. You don't have three different problems. What's the one thing in common? Most likely that harness in the door. So if you're capable to get in there and kind of tinker a little bit, by all means, you know, do that. If not, you know, take it to your mechanic, show him, explain to him, and I would imagine he can peel that open and find some, as you suggested, some broken wires.
All right. We'll need to take a quick break, Nick, so have a little more of that CCO coffee. We'll be back with more. If you have a car care question, call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226, or send a text, 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Nick Stoffel is in from Lloyd's Automotive, located exactly where, Nick?
In the capital city here in St. Paul at 982 Grand Avenue. If you're in front of a computer, you can go to our website at lloydsautomotive.net, and that's LLOYDSAutomotive.net. And if you have to give us a call sometime, we're at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. We'll get that number before you leave us today. Let's get back to the phones, then we'll grab some text messages as well. Al, I think, is first up here. Al, you're on with Nick.
Hi, 2013 Chevy 1500 with the auto heat defrost controls, cold on the driver's side only, on the heat.
There's likely a blend or a mix door that's not actuating or turning to the right position. You know, other things too, sometimes if there's a level of coolant that's a little bit low and that heater core is not being completely filled with hot antifreeze, it won't allow for that to apply enough heat across the whole vent there. So check the antifreeze level. take it out of the settings, you know, kind of play with it a little bit. You know, maybe try changing the temperatures from extreme cold to extreme hot. Maybe sometimes people will share with us that they hear a clicking noise to go with that, which is telling us that one of those motors is trying to operate, but it doesn't have either the doors broken or the gears are stripped or something,
okay,
not allowing for that full range. And looking at the forecast, you know, once again here, you're not going to want to have cold air blowing on you in a couple of days.
Yeah.
So if you can't get to the bottom of it yourself, you know, take it in here Monday. Have somebody, you know, it sounds like pretty straightforward. Take it for a drive. You'll feel the cold air, and somebody can get under the dash there and try to figure out if the flap's not moving or if there's just not enough hot water getting there.
It's one or the other.
Likely, yes.
Well, all right, good luck with that. Before we grab a text, Andy is calling in. Andy, you're on CCO with Nick.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning.
See, I've got a 1990 Cutlass Sierra. I've called a couple times on it, and last week, I called in because I was having a problem with the charge lamp, the charge light on the dashboard. And so what was happening was, as I loaded up the alternator with, you know, headlights and defroster, et cetera, the lamp would turn on brighter and brighter. So I grabbed a voltmeter and I checked my voltage at the battery, and it was about 15 volts, maybe just a touch over. And so I ended up replacing the alternator. I brought the alternator over to Napa and they said it was good. There was nothing wrong with it. So then I thought, well, I'm just going to replace it anyways. I replaced it and it fixed it. Mm. Is there a circuit that indicates that there's a charge problem if the regulator is not regulating and the output of the alternator is too high?
Well, you kind of did it yourself. When you put the voltmeter on the battery and you saw it was over 15 volts, a car should run at 14.2 or so.
Yeah.
So obviously the alternator was overworking. Something with that full fielding circuit in the regulator was not seeing the voltage properly, so it was overcharging. I would suspect, though, when they had it at the store on their little tester, it may not have I don't know what tester they have, and I don't know exactly how it works, but it's probably not the exact same as having it in the vehicle with the same load. So I think if they did a static or a simple test, it maybe would test just fine. But when it's installed in the vehicle with the vehicle's harness installed and all the other things going along with the car itself, it was overcharging. So I'm glad you fixed it. But quite simply, in the future, just as you did, if you put your voltmeter on the battery with the car is running, that's giving you the voltage of the whole system. If it's over 14.2, 14.4, it's overcharging. Typically, you see it over 15 or 16. You know, we had one in this week. It was like at 17.9 volts, and you could smell it. I mean, like it smelled really hot. The battery was sulfate, and you could smell that sulfur smell. So that's an extreme situation, but you're kind of on the cusp. Your car noticed it. The light was getting brighter and brighter because there's more voltage. So you did the right thing, and good job.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy, for the update. Appreciate that. We were talking about the cold weather and batteries, and a texter says, does it make a difference where you get a car battery, a garage or dealership or a car parts store? Well, I know I've had some good luck at Lloyd's with, I'm going to mention it, Interstate.
We've used
They're good batteries.
They're good batteries. You know, like everything in life, you know, there's different quality. And, you know, once again, with life, price is proportional to the quality that you're going to get on a battery. Realistically, there's probably just a handful of companies or outfits making batteries, and there's 1,000 different labels that get put on these.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, whether you're at a parts store or the dealership, probably going to have just one option. But if you're a parts store and you start to look at the good, better, best, you know, take in consideration the age of your vehicle, your budget. But, you know, Interstate batteries are on the higher end of quality, and that's what we use at Lloyd's, and we've had a lot of luck with them. You're going to get, you know, they're warranted for 5 years. Some of them are 6 years with a replacement of two. So the warranty is important. The other thing, too, though, is for years you'd look in the newspaper and you'd see this 1,000 cold cranking amp advertised battery.
Yeah.
You don't need that. You know, it's, you know, the car's only going to pull a couple hundred amps. The biggest issue is the reserve or the longevity. You know, on a nice warm day, you don't need that kind of capacity, but on a very cold day, what's the reserve of that battery? What's the, you know, the likelihood it's going to work in a year or two or 3 years from now? So make sure you do a little bit of homework. Ask the folks at the counter. They'll be able to guide you in the right direction. But essentially, the batteries are made by from just a couple of different folks.
They are. But you still, for the most part, you get what you pay for.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Hang on, Nick. We'll take a bottom of the hour break. We have more show to come on our Car Care Show. If you have any kind of a automobile or car, truck, van problem, and let Nick analyze it for you before you bring it into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. You might have a better idea what may be going wrong with that. So stay tuned. Nick's going to be with us for about another 15 minutes or so. So don't go away. Call us right away or send a text, and we'll help you out. We're in the midst of our Car Care Show in the final minutes, as a matter of fact. Nick is in for Dan today from Lloyd's Automotive. If you have any kind of a car care question, Nick will be here probably for about another 8 or 9 minutes or so. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. Keep in mind that Jack Farrell's Wine Chat will be here in just about 10 minutes or so. All right, we have texters, Nick. Let's see if we can't get to them. Here's one we've got a bone to pick with this car dealership. I'm going to read this as is. My 2018 Chrysler Pacifica's radio has a high-pitched squeal when on WCCO radio. My 2017 did not do this. My dealer told me to listen to another station. And the texter says, I'm not joking. Very frustrating. They even had the Chrysler rep out, and they said it was the station, not the car. Do I have to switch from Chrysler?
Kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? you know, likely there's a fault within that radio. If it's a new vehicle, I would just demand them to order a new, you know, they're all kind of a whole assembly at this point in time, the way cars are designed and made now. They could just as well get a different communication or radio unit and unplug it, plug it in, or for that matter, go out to the dealership, walk into another car.
Ah, yes.
Similar vehicle, yes. Turn it on, it's going to work fine. I mean, it's not the station per se. The station's been around a lot longer than that car has, and there's something within that unit itself, and, you know, it's kind of sad that you have to go through that. You think somebody would just, you know, own up and say, hey, let's take care of this person and just get it fixed. So
change your listening habits.
You know, and if they're kind of stand fast in their position, go to a different dealership. Your vehicle is warrantied by the manufacturer. You know, that you go to any franchise dealership and they'll take care of you for sure. So
absolutely.
Kind of frustrating, kind of funny for us, but hopefully they'll get it fixed.
Okay. Here's another text that will grab some calls. The turn signal on my 2014 Hyundai stays on in cold weather. So the turn signal stuck.
So depending on how it's designed, you know, years ago, there was a mechanical lever connected to the switch, and like there would be a broken spring or something. Newer vehicles, it's mostly electrical. So there's something in the contact of that. You know, it's probably still the switch, but when you exercise the switch down, there's a contact that's made. It can tell and see that the car is turning. Upon returning the steering wheel back to the straight position, those contacts should be broken free, and it should stop flashing. So that's not happening. If it's cold, sounds like it's pretty straightforward. You take it to your shop or your dealership. They should be able to turn the turn signal on, and you know, be able to get in there with the meter and prove that, confirm that, and get that part in there for you.
All right, very good. Let's see who's next on the phone. Mary is calling from Shoreview. Mary, you're on with Nick.
Yes, I'm rather an elderly lady, and when I start my car in the morning, it's great. I mean, it starts fine, but I drive less than miles. So should I warm my car up ahead of time, or can I just drive less than a mile and it'll be fine?
That's a good question.
That's a good question, and I think the best answer is take the long route.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is when you start a vehicle, have it idling, that's fine. You know, the engine's warming up and the antifreeze is getting circulated, but the alternator's not capable of putting out its capacity at idle. You need to be at a higher RPM, which happens when you drive. So if you only need to go to a mile, you know, once a week or something, take the long way. Go the other direction for a little bit. You know, don't get yourself lost, obviously, but, you know, it's really important for that alternator to get up over, you know, 1,500, 2,000 RPMs, which is typical of normal driving, but for a longer period of time, that way it can completely charge your battery. So too many short trips, your battery starts to lose a little charge. Later this week, when we need that extra capacity in that battery, you want it there. So letting the car sit and run is fine. It's better for us in the car, but taking the long way is probably the best answer.
Yeah, it really is. The same thing happened to Tony when he was going to catch the bus to go to the U. He'd drive his car a couple of miles, park it, and then eventually the battery
doesn't have
is
enough,
gone.
Yeah, doesn't have enough left in it. So
yeah. Here's a texter, Nick. I went through a car wash yesterday, drove for 15 minutes or so, then parked for a couple of hours. When I tried to move the car, it would not move in either park or reverse. Finally, after really giving it some gas, it made a loud noise and lunged forward. The tires were not stuck on ice, and the parking brake was not on. Any thoughts besides not washing the car in such cold weather?
Ice. I mean, something was frozen up. It was likely in the brakes. You know, you had a little bit of moisture still in that brake caliper, brake rotor. And when you sat there in that cold air, it just froze itself into place. And you fixed it. You know, you put it in the gear and give it a little extra oomph, got it moving again, and it'll be just fine. So, you know, it's unusual, to be honest. I don't think I've heard that for a while. You know, but if you are going to wash your vehicle today, tomorrow, if you can put it in a garage, that would be best.
Yeah.
Even if it's an unheated garage, your car is essentially a radiator. You have a good hot car. You put it in even an unheated garage. That car will hold the heat, number one, and it'll warm up the garage a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. All right. So let's grab a call before we run out of time. Pete is calling from Robbinsdale. Pete, you're on CCO with Nick.
I have a 2018 Nissan Altima, and whenever I drive under a high transmission power line, it starts, staticky for maybe 10 seconds until I get through that area. Is that common? My Toyota doesn't do that.
That used to be common, years ago when they didn't have all the frequency, the RF, all the interference stuff kind of built into radios and cars. You know, it would happen, you'd go buy something and the car would make a funny squealing, funny noise there. But, you know, there's something missing within your vehicle. There's a poor connection somewhere. Some of the systems that are designed to kind of absorb that noise or that frequency are not working. Same thing. It seems like a fairly straightforward solution. Take it back to the folks you got the vehicle from. Have them go for a drive with you. Go buy some of those lines. You know, it's pretty audible. They should really experience it and then figure out what's creating it and get it fixed for you.
Have some text messages, Nick, before you go and see if we can't field a bunch. What happens to the oil in your car when it's so cold? Does it gel? How long should you let a car warm up? And does it use oil warming it up, I presume?
So oil gets thick, obviously, as it gets colder. And letting the car warm up, I think for a few moments the car appreciates that. You let to get the engine oil a little more fluid, get it working, get it moving, get the power steering fluid, the antifreeze, get all those things, you know, kind of stretch them out a little bit. But the truth is, after a few moments, the only reason to warm up the vehicle is for you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, we all have auto starts. Don't start your vehicle and leave the keys in it, leave it unlocked because somebody's going to absolutely help themselves to your car.
That's right.
But, you know, with the remote starts too, you know, if it's a couple minutes, you know, I'll use mine. You know, I'm leaving work, I'll remote start, I'll go grab my bag and stuff. It's just a minute or two, I walk out there, and it forwards the process of getting heat. But it doesn't do a whole lot for the vehicle. It wastes gas.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot more emissions on a car when it's at idle than when driving. So, you know, minimize it to whatever is most comfortable for you, but the car doesn't really care.
Before you go, somebody's responding to this cold temps that are coming up this week. Should the car sit or be started periodically throughout the day in this week's cold?
Quickly, just like that other woman that starts short trips there. If you're going to start it, go drive it. You need to give the car the opportunity to get the battery fully charged. Let it sit and run. It's fine. It warms it up, gets the engine happy, but it's hard on the battery. You really need to go for a spin.
All right. If you need to get into Lloyd's, you can go there today.
Call soon because it's going to be...
Yeah, it's going to be busy.
You know, make your appointment now with your shop because middle of the week, it's going to be next to impossible.
How do we call you guys?
We're at 651-228-1316, and we're at 982 Grand Avenue in the capital city of St. Paul.
Excellent. Thanks, Nick. Stay warm, and I'll see you at Lloyd's.
Yes, sir.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.